Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome, and happy Monday. Are you feeling like it's a Monday? Honestly, I'm feeling like it's a Monday. Richard, my board operator, and I, and Stephanie were just talking about this, how Monday really should be a state of mind, but there is just something about it that's difficult to get moving. It just feels like everything's kind of going wrong. If that is you, if you are just on the struggle bus, well, I'm on there with you, and we will make it through, and we will get to Friday. Even if Friday is, like for me as a nurse, doesn't really mean much, it's still Friday, and there's something psychologically good about that. But listen, we are in the business of prescribing hope for healthy families, and I hope that you were able to tune in last week. We had some fantastic shows last week, but especially last Thursday, we talked to June Chapman about just having a heart for people who need God. It was such a great conversation. And on Friday, we reviewed a lot of healthy habits that we have been doing as we're zooming towards halfway through the year. We did a quick little check to see how are you doing on these 52 healthy habits. So if you missed the shows last week, go ahead and go back and listen. But today we are going to talk about something that is all over the news, all over your social media feed, even though you may not recognize it as such. My guest today is Stacy Riok, and I'm really excited to have this conversation. She is an author. Her book is called Beautiful Freedom: How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. And we're going to be talking about that issue today because let me tell you, as I'm looking at Gen Z, we definitely see marketing happening online and consumerism and all of those screens that are trying to influence our buying power, our thinking power. And that is even more so in Gen Alpha. We are seeing that. So you may be thinking, you know, I don't know that I'm not a mom. I'm not a woman who struggles with this. This is a message for everybody. This is a message for all of us to appreciate our bodies as God gave us and to think about how we think about our appearance, how we think about food, how we think about exercising. You can't drive down your neighborhood without seeing another new gym that has popped up or talking about a new kind of diet. So that's what we're talking about. Stacy Riok, she's a writer. She's a pastor's wife. She's a fellow mom of four. She lives in Pittsburgh, and she is the author of Wilderness Wanderings, and the co-author of Making Room for Her. She's passionate about helping women apply gospel truth to the daily trials of life, and she enjoys serving alongside her husband, Ben, at Three Rivers Grace Church. Stacy, welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I know that you have been doing a lot of media today and talking about this, and I think this is an issue that a lot of people are talking about. So I would love for you just to start, Stacy, by giving our listeners a little taste of who you are. Tell us about your life story, how you came to know the Lord, and how that brought you to writing about body image through a biblical lens.
Sure. Yeah, so I am a mom. I married my high school sweetheart, Ben. We've been married for 24 years. We have four kids that range from 21 down to 10. So I kind of feel like I'm in multiple stages of parenting at the same time, kind of launching two, and then two are still in the nest. And I came to know the Lord when I was a freshman in college. So I grew up and I went to church sometimes, and I was confirmed in the church, but I really didn't know that I needed a savior. I thought it was just about attending church, being a good person, doing the right things, but I really didn't understand my sin and my need to be forgiven and trusting in Jesus. So the Lord used my husband and even his family as a witness to me when we started dating our senior year of high school. And then when I went away to college, I was at Michigan State, so a big secular university, but the Lord just surrounded me with Christians. There were two Christian girls in the dorm room next to me that started sharing the gospel with me. And then a woman in campus ministry named Laura came and knocked on my door and asked me out to coffee. And I got to know her, and she eventually invited me to a Bible study. And, you know, through studying the Word and the witness of Ben, who's now my husband, I came to see my sin and my need for a Savior, and accepted the Lord, and he really radically changed my life and my trajectory. And then you asked about the... Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go right on ahead.
Okay. I was thinking, how do I transition there to body image?
Well, there we go. So, we just did it.
So writing has kind of been a surprise. I really started writing, just journaling and kind of processing what God's teaching me, processing my thoughts, and then eventually started writing some articles that were published and eventually some books. And why I was led to body image, I think, you know, this is an issue that almost every woman in America struggles with, and mm-hmm. myself included. So I think back to, you know, when I was in high school and I was on the pom-pom team and we wore these cute little skirts, and I was so self-conscious of my skinny legs, and I wanted to cover them up with sweatpants and kind of hide myself. And I just kind of thought, oh, if my body was more filled out and more curvy, then I'd get a boyfriend or date to homecoming. And then, you know, I enter adulthood and have four babies, and my struggle swings in the other direction. And I start to feel like, wow, my body really doesn't look like it did 20 years ago. And how do I grapple with that and try to understand it from a biblical perspective? At the same time, I have two daughters, one who is in college, one who's almost 16, and really wanting to give them a God-centered view of their bodies and just a framework for them to interpret all of these ads and social media that's bombarding them these days. So that led me to write Beautiful Freedom.
Well, I think that this is a topic for everybody. And of course, you know, young women struggle with this more, but you know what I'm seeing, Stacey, is I'm seeing more and more that this is impacting boys. So I've been following this trend called looks maxing, which is basically a group of online of men, young men online who want to enhance their physical attractiveness and change their body. So it comes from like role playing, like, and then because max means to fully develop a single character trait. So I'm seeing these influencers who notice that, hey, we've been really successful at marketing all of these lotions and, you know, 7-step skincare moisturizer regimes and all of this to women. But there is an untapped market in young men. And I think that parents out there really need to know that this is not just for girls, like that we don't need to overlook our sons, who these messages can be equally applicable to them. Because some of the things that I'm seeing out there, Stacey, are terms like starve maxing, which is extreme fasting, or mewing, which is where you put your tongue on the roof of your mouth to make your jaw look more square, or facial gains, which talks about making your face look more chiseled, where we have guys even using like contrast makeup now, or even surgical concerns. I mean, I could talk about this for a long time, but I just think it's important as we start this and do some level setting that parents and grandparents need to know that this is an issue where we are seeing screens just inundate us all the time. But before we go back there, let's dive in and talk about early in the book, you talk about a big topic. You talk about beauty. And this is something that definitely, you know, we see in scripture. And that's one of the things I appreciate about your book is you are continually giving us scripture as reference. But what does the scripture teach us about true beauty?
Yeah, well, the Bible really gives us an upside down view compared to the world, because the world is all about the outward appearance. But, you know, 1 Samuel 16 tells us man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So true beauty is really about our heart. It's really about what we see through our words and our actions and our character. And, you know, even when we think about in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:2, when it's prophesying about Jesus, tells us Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. But Jesus is really the most beautiful person because he did the most beautiful, selfless act of love for us in dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven and free from our sin. So that really gives us an example of true beauty is about showing love, showing grace, being more like Jesus. And I think, you know, there's a lot of freedom and hope in that because we can grow more beautiful as we grow more like Christ.
I think that's so hard to do because when we see beauty, and we will, let's talk specifically to women here and let's talk to moms because, you know, I see now, Stacey, I mean, toddlers now have Botox in their vocabulary. They can know, you know, what this is. And we see this kind of obsession with a fountain of youth, which is nothing new. That's not a new concept. And I think it's really hard when we see our peers and we think, okay, well, do we do those things or do we not? Surgery or non-surgery? And we are just bombarded with conversation like that, and especially in moms groups. And so how do we convey to our kids, like, okay, yes, we want to look our best. We're not saying that don't wear makeup and just, you know, let yourself go. Mm-hmm. But we're also saying, mm-hmm. you know, have that balance. It's easy to say that. How do we model that in our everyday lives?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the big thing is that we do want to model that for our kids. And so, you know, how are we spending our time and our energy and our resources? And I think about that as kind of a diagnostic question for myself of, you know, yes, it's not a wrong thing to want to look attractive, right? It's not a wrong thing to want to work out and have strong muscles or to wear makeup and look pretty. But is it an all-consuming thing? Is it something that's inordinately consuming my thoughts and my time and my resources? So I think, you know, our kids notice what we do, right? They notice whether we're spending 2 hours at the gym every day or whether we're looking in the mirror and saying, oh, you know, why do I look so old? Look at those wrinkles that have showed up on my face. So I think, you know, as moms, we need to be really conscious of, you know, the words we're saying, of the example that we're portraying. And it is hard. It's hard to keep the right perspective. And I think that takes me back to scripture of really having to soak in the word of God to have an eternal view about my body and God's kingdom instead of a worldly view.
Well, again, so much easier said than done, but the answers for us are all laid out in scripture, and you have laid that out so beautifully in looking at that, Stacey. And when we come back, I really want to dive into just this whole fitness culture because we do want to be healthy. And I think especially this generation mm-hmm. of kids, they're very health conscious. I shared a story before about one of my teenage daughters who was having some friends over, and I thought I was going to be the cool mom, Stacey. And I bought a bunch of junk food and I arranged it very artfully mm-hmm. on the counter, you know, so that she would be surprised when she came home. And she came home and she looked at it, and Stacey, she was not impressed. She said, she goes, oh, mom, bless your heart, you know, which is what we say in the South when we're insulting someone and saying, yeah. So she said, bless your heart, you bought me cancer in cute packages. And so, you know, I see kids who are concerned, and we should be concerned about the food that we are putting into our bodies. We should be concerned mm-hmm. about fitness because we do have an epidemic of, you know, weight issues in this country, and we do need to exercise because a lot of us are just sitting on our phones, or we are, you know, kids are playing video games and those kinds of things. But when we come back, I really want you to talk about how do we know when we've crossed the line? When it's become too important, when it has become too much, and we don't find that healthy balance. So when we come back, we'll talk to Stacey Riok about that. Her book, Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. Don't go away. We'll be right back, and we're going to have a giveaway, so you won't want to miss it. We'll see you on the other side of this break. is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Lord, and patience, for things will take time. Grant me freedom to walk a new path and let me feel your love. In my weakness, you can shine. In your strength, I can fly. And you make everything.
Welcome back, friends, to my conversation with Stacey Riok, and that song is beautiful. If you haven't seen the movie Unsung Hero yet, that's the song that movie is from. Go and see it. It was such an encouraging and uplifting message of beauty, and today we're talking about Stacey's book, Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. And we've been talking about the damaging and unhealthy messages about body image that Christians are not immune to. We definitely see that. And Stacey is here to give you hope and to give you good news, because the Bible offers a pathway to freedom and joy as we steward the body that God has given us. And Stacey, before the break, we were just talking about the rise of fitness routines. I think, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, Stacey, and so I remember when jazzercise became a thing and people actually started wearing, you know, athletic gear, and we see the rise of athleisure and just the rise of attention, cultural attention to food and fitness routines. So how do we balance that, Stacey, with recognizing that there is a pendulum? You know, we need to be good stewards of the bodies that God has given us, but how do we know when we have made fitness our God, when we are idolizing those things in our life and over-prioritizing them?
Yeah, that's a good question, a good thing to think about, because so often it's the good things in our life that can become many idols of our hearts. You know, we might start out saying, oh, I want to have a healthy body. I want to have the healthiest body I can. And that's a good thing. But it's easy to slide into kind of an obsession, into something that is no longer a healthy, good thing. So I would say the first thing we need to do is really to look at ourselves and ask the Lord for help in revealing where we might be going astray. Ask him for wisdom. And then, you know, another question I think about, I mentioned this before, is, you know, asking yourself, you know, is my desire to shape my body or my desire to look a certain way, is it consuming me? Is it consuming my thoughts and my time and my resources? So, you know, I also think about, is your day ruined if you don't get to the gym? Is it just, you know, the day is shot and you're in a bad mood because you don't get your workout in, or because, you know, you don't get your kale shake made in the morning? You know, are those things going to just ruin your day? And I think if it does, that's kind of a red flag that that's become too important. So one Bible verse that really helps me think about balance is 1 Timothy 4:8, which says, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. So I love that, because Paul isn't saying bodily training is of no value. He's not saying just read the Bible and go to prayer meetings and you're good. No, bodily training is of some value. It is good and important to train our bodies, to strengthen our muscles, to care for ourselves, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, so that we can serve the Lord longer, so that we are fit to do whatever the Lord calls us to, whether that's carrying in groceries for an elderly neighbor, or balancing a baby on our hip, or walking long distances to share the good news of Jesus. We want a fit body to do those things. But our physical training is not paramount. So our bodily training allows us to fulfill the mission God's called us to stay in the race for the long haul, and that's valuable. But if it rises to the place of master in our life, to be of ultimate priority, that's when we've lost sight of what's most important and should be a red flag that we need to really take stock or ask for accountability from a friend to help us kind of reevaluate our life.
You know, it's so hard, Stacy, because I feel like we live in a world of so many extremes. And even when we're looking at fitness, we can see extremes. Anything can be taken to extremes. So just like you're talking about, you know, if I don't go to the gym, if I, you know, I have to, if I accidentally eat a bite of bread, like that's going to ruin my day. I can tell you with full transparency, Stacy, I have never had my day ruined because I didn't have a kale shake to drink or I didn't make it to the gym. That is not my struggle, but I have had my day ruined when I plan to exercise and I don't, or I plan to eat healthy and I don't, and I find myself halfway through a sleeve of Oreos, you know, like that is where I can go. And you say something really important in your book. You talk about how this is a spiritual battle, and I'll read to you for an excerpt from your book that I thought was really insightful. You said, the world tells us all we need is willpower. I do my workout video and cringe at the self-help positive talk the instructor gives. How bad do you want this? You hold the power to change. It's all about your mindset. And while there's some truth in the idea that our thoughts help determine our actions, the reality is that when we are fighting sin, we need something stronger to keep us on track than our own determination. Satan will use every means possible to keep our time and actions self-serving instead of God glorifying. And in either one of those extremes, Stacy, we're really being self-serving. We're thinking about ourself and what we look like and our self-image. We're engaged in image crafting. We're not thinking about glorifying God. So how do you balance that? Where do you find freedom in that, freedom from self-help and thinking of this as a spiritual battle more than anything?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in remembering that our bodies are not our own, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us our bodies were bought with a price. They were bought with the blood of Jesus. And so our bodies are really all about God. They're not about us. Our bodies are to make Christ visible to a watching world. And so I think as we think about that with fitness and health, you know, it's not about whether I've gained or lost 5 pounds, but it's about, you know, am I living my life to the glory of God? Am I strengthening my muscles so that I can serve him for the long haul, so that I can stay in the race? And I think, you know, it really takes lifting our eyes off of our waistline and upward, moving our eyes upward to the Lord, and to think about, you know, what is his plan for my life? How does he want me to use my body to bring glory and honor to him? which is really a very countercultural perspective.
It really is. And now, you know, we see injection of, well, literal injection of medications now for losing weight. And I see a lot of people saying, like, should I use those or should I not? And then people who don't use them say, well, that's cheating. And then people who don't use them say, well, that's just, you know, like that's foolish not to. And I mean, that's a debate to have. But I think your point is so well taken about what is our motivation. What is, what are we living for? What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to accomplish? Because a lot of times when we're chasing these things, we're believing lies. Like, I'll be happier if I can just lose 20 pounds, if I can be a little stronger, if I can be a little faster, if I can, you know, feel better in my clothes, like I'll be happier. But that is such a lie. So why is this such a struggle, Stacey? Why do we talk about this and it sounds so simple, but why is it so hard?
Well, I think it's just because we're sinful people. You know, we're self-centered naturally. We naturally are thinking about ourselves and thinking about what we want and prone to believe those lies of the world, to believe that everything in my life will work out if I can just lose the weight and get smoother skin and look attractive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not what's going to bring us happiness. I mean, it goes back to, you know, that God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be satisfied through Jesus and through a relationship with him. But that's, you know, that's not what's being preached through our Instagram feeds and the commercials on TV. So it's just constantly a battle, I think, to keep an eternal perspective instead of a worldly one.
It is really hard too. And you talk in the book about you give some really hard truths about overindulgence and looking at her cultural context. And when you think about it, Stacey, it's hard because so many of our celebrations revolve around food. You know, every party that we have, and it's not just a little bit of food. It's a lot of food. It's sumptuous food. It's really, really rich food. And then, you know, we think about just the serving sizes that we have, but you really talk again about food is not the enemy, because I talk about this a lot, and we really categorize this into like good food and bad food, or, you know, we even use words like comfort food, like this food makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. And we say like, okay, well, I've been really good this week, so I'm going to be bad. I'm going to cheat today. And we attribute so many words that convey character around food. And you really hammer home the message saying that food is not the enemy, and food is good. God made food that is good. Mm-hmm. Anything can be taken to extreme. But what do you say about that, just a propensity that we have as a culture to overindulge, but really not looking at it as a food issue, but looking at it as a spiritual issue?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what you're saying is good, of just kind of remembering our baseline that God created food both for our nourishment and enjoyment. And, you know, we see that in the Bible. We see, you know, the celebrations, you know, the wedding at Cana and Jesus turning the water into wine. And we see God providing food for the Israelites with manna and quail. And so we see, you know, food is a good thing, but just like anything, good things can easily become too important in our lives. And so I think, you know, when we fall into that ditch of, I have to have this food to be happy, I have to have this drink to be a kind person, mm-hmm. or to have more
coffee.
And more of it, you know, we're yes. We're falling, you know, we're falling into that trap of food idolatry, really. And, you know, we need the Lord's grace and wisdom to remember we have the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the fruit of self-control that we can have when we're tempted to overindulge. But also, you know, the other side of the coin, remembering, you know, it's not a bad thing to enjoy food and to enjoy cake, to enjoy things with sugar, you know, that these, mm-hmm. Jesus declared all foods as clean. And so we don't need to get hung up on labeling foods as good or bad, kind of giving them a moral value. because the Bible tells us everything created by God is good if it's received with thanksgiving. So in that aspect, you know, we can receive a kale shake or a chocolate shake with a thankful heart.
I know. And again, it's so hard, Stacey, because there's so much balance, because then we could go into, well, mm-hmm. we have this over-processed food and the food industry that tries to make hyper-palatable foods that literally trigger addiction hormones in our brain. So we're not talking about that, mm-hmm. but we're talking about making the, I think what we use a lot of times, Stacey, is I think we use food as a coping mechanism. And that's what I see a lot of kids mm-hmm. doing. Because you just think they're not really hungry, they're lonely, or yeah. they're bored, sure. or they're anxious, and you're just using food as a coping mechanism. Although it could be food, it could be a lot of other different things. I mean, we've talked about exercise, although there's any number of just conveniences and comforts that we have around us that are easier to adopt than just sitting in discomfort. I think too, Stacey, as a society, we just have so little tolerance for discomfort. My husband actually, he talks mm-hmm. about this all the time, thinking like that kids need to be tougher. And there was one time he had them at the zoo. They were not with me and he was not going to get them any water. And my daughter was telling him very earnestly, people die of dehydration. He said, not while they're with their families at the zoo, they don't. Like, that's not going to happen. You'll be okay when we get to the car. And there's something to be said for hydration, but man, we've turned hydration even into a multi-billion dollar industry. You know, thank mm-hmm. you, Stanley, for bringing back the yeah. Stanley Cup. But, you know, all of these things are really hard. And we're coming up against another break here, Stacey. But when we come back, I really want to talk about in your book, you give some biblical insight on how scripture helps us find a healthier attitude. And we'll talk about some of the popular narratives surrounding the topic of food and how the Bible can instruct us and why aging is really good news. But the good news that I have for you right now is that we are giving away not one, not two, but three of Stacy's books today. Thank you, Stacy, for providing those books. We're going to give them to the first three callers at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So we'll see what states we have listeners from. You'll get a copy of Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. And we'll be right back with Stacey Riach to talk more about this issue and to provide the answer to how are we to view all of this? What is there to do? We will provide you with some hope before we go our separate ways today. We'll see you on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry.
Welcome back, friends. That is such a great reminder to lift our eyes to the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and now sits at the right hand of God as our helper, as our friend. And we're talking about a tough topic today, one that sparks all kinds of very strong opinions. Like if I'm going to talk to you about certain diet trends, certain exercise trends, certain anti-aging trends, you've all got some pretty strong feelings. Some of you are here for it. You're like, this is great. This moment has been long in coming. And some of you are, oh my goodness, we have lost our ever-loving minds. But you know what? There is beauty in the chaos and there is peace in the middle when we're talking about this. And we're talking to Stacy Riok about, she just wrote a book called Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. And Stacy, we're kind of skimming over some of the high lines of this, but this is something that is really, really deeply held. And so I want to know, you know, tell us more about some of the popular narratives that are surrounding the topic of food. You and I were just talking about something called food individualism. Tell us about that and how you see it impacting families today and what hope we can find from Scripture.
Yeah, so food individualism would be like diets that can isolate us from others due to extreme restrictions or fear of the effects the food will have on your body. So this is tricky because I know that there are some very legitimate medical restrictions, right? Like mm-hmm. if you have celiac disease, do not eat gluten.
Right.
or
right.
peanut allergy, you're not going to eat things with peanuts. But right. what I'm talking about is more people choosing on their own to restrict certain foods. So maybe cutting out all carbs, cutting out all sugar, and then being very concerned about the food that they eat, so much so that it can prevent them from fellowship with other believers. So, you know, I think the culture really encourages us to pursue the diet that works best for you. But you know, the danger is that as our diets become overly individualized, we can find ourselves divided instead of united. And that can happen within a family. That can happen within a church. For example, I think about like a church potluck of, you know, maybe you're so concerned about the calories that are in some of those potluck dishes, or the ingredients that you don't go to the church potluck. You stay home because you're afraid of what the food might do to you. Or even with hospitality, you know, avoiding inviting certain people to your home because you know they have an overly demanding diet and you're afraid that you're going to do something wrong. So I think this kind of have it your way, food individualism, we can end up missing out on the glorious fellowship of believers because we're so fearful and concerned about what we're eating.
And I shared with you, Stacy, I see this a lot in teenagers where all of these social events revolve around food. And so it really dictates whether teens go or not, you know, because then sometimes teens may not want to go because maybe they're not going to eat anything. And then they don't want questions to say, well, why aren't you eating anything? And then, you know, finding all of the narrative that goes along with that. But I think that the answer to that as a society is that we need to have some fellowships that are maybe not around food. Now, I've grown up going to plenty of Baptist potlucks. I am definitely acculturated in that. But I think, you know, just having some of those thoughts that, you know, it doesn't, you don't have to serve something to eat or drink around that, you know, but just that isolation, if you have those diet thoughts, those practices that are getting to the point where you're really being isolated from other people, that can be really hard. And I also see, you know, a lot about, we're learning more about food and about the how food is medicine, you know, people will say. But again, the tendency to be to the extreme, you know, whether that is this keto diet or a gluten-free diet or a cabbage diet or whatever the fad diet is, you know, those can really take a too high of a place in our life. And you also share, Stacy, in your book, some of your similar experiences with fasting, how fasting can be a good spiritual discipline, but there's some pitfalls there too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think fasting can be a good way to really test our hearts and align our hearts with the Lord. But I think there's also some dangers there. You know, if you have struggled with weight and you're wanting, you know, you're going to be prone to like constantly be looking at the scale, then fasting can become for you more of a weight loss thing, then it can really become what it's supposed to be, of a time to seek the Lord and pursue Him. So I think it's good to remember fasting doesn't always have to be with food. You know, we can fast from anything that's become too important in our lives. You know, we can fast from social media. We can fast from coffee. We can fast from, you know, anything that we think.
Now you had to go there, Stacy. You had to go there for the coffee. Oh, now I'm convicted.
I know. Well, for me, it's chocolate. For me, it's, you know, and even writing this book, I was convicted of thinking, you know, I don't really practice fasting very often. And it's really easy for me at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I am, you know, that wave of tiredness comes over you and I either need a nap or I just want to go grab a chocolate square. And not that it's always bad to grab a chocolate square, but I was convicted thinking, you know, I really need to fast from this for a few days just to help my body and spirit remember that my dependence is on the Lord. My dependence is not on the square of chocolate at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was a good thing for me to do and to, you know, just remind my body that I'm not enslaved to this, but that the spirit is in control.
Well, and another way that people are talking about food and using food now is for longevity, and that's not just for food, Stacy. I mean, we talked about this a little bit at the top of the show, just the anti-aging barrage that we are seeing, whether that is ice baths or, you know, whatever it is, or Botox or food or any other, you know, cosmetic surgical procedures or non-surgical procedures. And it was interesting because, you know, you talk about the common theme when we're talking about aging, the common underlying current that is flowing through all of that is fear of getting older, fear of how we look when we get older, fear of not keeping up and being able to do the things we want to do, the things that we used to be able to do. It's about fear. So how do we learn from Scripture, Stacy, to flourish in our future instead of fear our future?
Yeah, well, again, the Bible gives us an upside down perspective compared to the world. You know, in the world, everyone is telling us, you know, hide those gray hairs, do whatever you can to turn back time and look 10 years younger. But, you know, Proverbs 16:31 tells us gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. And that's such a sweet thing to remember that, you know, our body isn't meant to look like it's 25 forever, right? Our bodies are meant to change over time. And they show the experiences that we've had. I mean, God's used all these different experiences in life to shape who we are. And, you know, the stretch marks on my abdomen from having 4 children are a reminder of the gift of children. Or my furrowed brow is a reminder of, you know, staying up late into the night with kids trying to talk through, you know, difficult issues that they're walking through. So I think these changes on our face, these changes in our hair, all of these aren't things to despise, but they're marks to remember how God has used these experiences to shape us into who we are. And, you know, I also think of Psalm 92. It talks about being like a palm tree, flourishing like a palm tree that still bears fruit in old age. And I think what a beautiful picture of, you know, desiring to be the tree that's continuing to bear fruit, that's continuing to shower the fruits of the Spirit on those in our life. And that's, you know, that's what I want to be like.
I want to be like that too, Stacy. And it is really hard because, you know, we do think about when we're talking to our kids look at more of what we say than what we do. And again, I just want to emphasize, I don't think this is an issue just for women because there's plenty of ads I see for hair transplants or hair dye for men or other things, you know, where we're seeing where we just, as a society, we don't want to age. And it's funny to me because, you know, you read from Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. And Stacy, during the pandemic, I'm sure you saw the same thing where a lot of people let their hair go gray for the first time because, you know, we didn't have access to beauty salons and everything. And there was this narrative saying, oh, yes, you know, finally we can do this and gray is beautiful and all of this kind of stuff. Well, since COVID is over and the salons are open, I noticed that a lot of people who maybe did that are back again. And again, that's not a bad thing, but I think this beauty that you're pulling from scripture, you also quoted from Job chapter 12 saying, wisdom is with the aged and understanding and length of days. How can we as parents, you're a mom too, Stacy, how can we change our kids and impact our kids' view of aging instead of viewing it? Because a lot of times I think we project it to our kids as something that's undesirable. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, oh, I'm old. Oh, look at me. I'm old. I can't use the lingo that you're using or whatever it is. And we talk negatively about it. What are some specific practical things that we can do to celebrate aging bodies and spirits? How can we do that in a biblical way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think, first of all, just, you know, being careful what we say, because it is so easy to look in the mirror and complain about, you know, the wrinkles on our face. But, you know, instead, you know, well, and even thinking about how we compliment our kids, you know, that we don't make it all about like, oh, you look so pretty today, or, you know, all physical things, but we compliment how we see God working in their life, that we call out, you know, the compassion and the courage that we see in them. And so I think, you know, even in our own lives, you know, talking about, you know, the blessing that we've had as we've grown older and we've gotten to experience more of life, and we've had the privilege of raising kids, or we've had the privilege of, you know, working in a career and seeing the fruit of that over time. And, you know, even, you know, the freedom of accepting or changing bodies, I think about a woman, a grandmother, who wasn't afraid to put on a swimsuit and go play with her grandkids on the beach. And I love that. I thought that is true freedom, because she is not worried about what everyone's thinking about her. And really, for the most part, who really is thinking about what she looks like in her bathing suit? But I think just modeling, you know, it's not about how you look in your swimsuit. It's about enjoying the people that you're with and using those experiences that God gives you for His glory.
You know, Stacy, I talk a lot about that very concept on this show. And I can think of one time with my mother-in-law who was playing football with my sons. We were on a Thanksgiving trip, and I have a photo of her playing football. Now, here's a granny out there. Now, she is not, I love you, Mom, but she's not like, you know, the most athletic person you ever imagined. But it was so beautiful to see that. And I talk about how we need to be in pictures with our kids. This is something I've been so personally convicted about, because we'll hand the phone back and say, oh, I don't like the way I look in pictures. And they're thinking, great, because I look just like you. So I'm ugly too, but they don't see how we look. They don't see our wrinkles or our flabby arms or anything like that. They see us present in their lives. They see us woven into the tapestry of their story. And we need to, if you don't do anything else, let me tell you, get a copy of Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness, and get in your family pictures without criticizing yourself to your kids. If you can do those two things to start, I think you'll be in a good way. Well, Stacy, where can we connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Stacy Riach, and on Facebook at Stacy Riach, and also at my website, stacyriach.com.
And that's R-E-A-O-C-H. Well, congratulations to our three winners, Pam from Mississippi, Megan from Ohio, and Jonathan from Virginia. You're going to get a copy of Stacy's book. Stacy, thank you so much. I know that you have said your prayer for us as we read this book is that God will grant us new eyes to see our bodies the way He sees it, as a gift to enjoy and a steward for His glory. And I'll see you next time here, prescribing more hope for healthy families. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He give you peace no matter where you are in this journey. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, guys.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.